Greetings again to each one tonight. A privilege to be here. Lord's Day evening. I was blessed by those words that were already spoken. And where would be a better place to be than the house of the Lord? Yes. I want to commend you on your pulpit here. It has a hole in, you know. My wife says I speak with my hands. And I don't know, maybe I do, I don't keep track of that, but I know already twice that I knocked the glass over, so this is a precaution for that. I'm more relaxed now. Yeah. Anyway, this is good to be here with you. And tonight I have entitled my message, Replacement Theology. We're living in the end times, and if you don't believe it, look around. Listen to what's going on, just what's going to happen this year already. It is very rapidly going towards the end times when Jesus Christ will come for his bride. And that is the hope, the only hope I can preach tonight. The world system, we can go talk about the economic system, and you don't know if you'll have any finances by tomorrow. We're living in very precarious times. I don't know. But you know, a lot of things are shaping up that remind you of what the Word of God says. But I don't want to leave you in a situation tonight that you're fearful. Like I said this morning, it's the Word of God is to help us, to prepare us for the best thing yet to come for the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is the rapture of what John 14 speaks about, what 1 Thessalonians speaks about, what 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about. You know, this is where we're heading. It says, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. And the scripture says, we'll be called up. And always remember, as a small child, up always meant that way. Not sideways, but it meant up. Always keep that in mind. The scripture is true, you know. So I don't want to leave you in doubt tonight. But Isaac Newton once said, if I have seen further than others, it is because I was standing on the shoulder of others. And that means if you and I are enlightened to something, it's because somebody else was willing to share it to us that we can see a little further in the distance. And that's a special blessing when you can have that privilege of learning from others in church and business, whatever it may be, that you can see a little further than maybe your dad did. And that's not to brag, that is just the opposite, you know. But that's where we should be. As Christians, we should learn. As we're closing our eyes, we're heading towards the end times, we can see clearer than our forefathers did. Just for an example, the land of Israel. When Israel became a nation again, then the Word of God, we knew the Word of God is still true. Because it says, I'm going to bring them home to my homeland, friends. If you don't believe it, that's a literal thing that the scripture was clear on. And with the war going on now, this is not my subject, but with the war going on, more Jews are going to head back. Again, fulfilling of scripture. Maybe against the very Jews that are going back. They don't want to go back. They love it in the U.S. and Canada, I guess, too, maybe a few. But, what does the word say? We're living in the most exciting times, I believe, since the homegoing of our Jesus. And would to God that we could be excited in the times we're living. You're called to live in a time like this. Don't think it's a burden. Don't think the world is getting more very evil. You have been given the privilege to live in a time like this, like Queen Esther of old. that she could be a witness to a lost and dying world. Take that privilege. Use it. Use it joyfully to be a witness for Jesus Christ. In plain words, what we are is a lot of times because of what others helped us along, how we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, what we made of Jesus Christ in our lives, you know. And thus, of course, by many people, we've been taught in preaching and teaching by people, various examples that have lifted us up to believe the Word of God in its truth and in its beauty. Just like that song we sang tonight, that even the flowers are all portraying the glory of God. And I had to think, isn't that so true? You know, if it would have been me, I would have had one paintbrush and everything, let's get over with. You know, right? Yeah, this is you look at the flowers, some of those are so complicated and so beautiful. Say, praise the Lord. That's the Lord. Why did he do it? It's for you and for you. Man, you can love flowers too. You know, they're beautiful. Yeah. Enjoy them. That's just the beauty of our God. Turn with me to Romans 11. And we'll read from verse 1. Romans 11 is an extremely interesting book. And the better you can understand it, the clearer the Word of God is all the way through. It says here in verse 1, I say then, this is Paul writing, hath God cast away his people? Has he cast them away? Is Israel done? Is it off the map? Is that what it? Paul says, no. He said, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. He said, I'm also a Jew, as it were, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He had all the right connections. Yes, he did. But he also became a Christian. Praise God for that. Paul writes specifically to warn the church not to be ignorant of the mystery of Israel. Verse 17, it says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do we understand that tonight? That Jesus Christ is the root. It is the head of the church. Yes, he is. And he says here, if there were branches broken off this tree, and they were the unbelieving Jews that were broken off. And why were they broken off? So that you and I could be grafted into that tree. That is the mercy and the grace of God tonight, dear people, that we could be grafted in as wild as we were. All of you are wild people outside of the fold, lost and heading towards hell tonight. But as you came to Jesus Christ, you can be grafted in to the tree. Beautiful illustration it is. Christians are redeemed people by a Jewish Messiah, taught by Jewish prophets and apostles, giving us the Bible by mostly Jewish authors. Imagine some people in our churches hate the Jews. In fact, in our local, two of our local churches, Mennonite churches, yeah, some of them wear the plain suit and everything else. I don't care what, yeah, I do care what you wear. Shouldn't say that. But if the heart isn't right, it doesn't mean a thing. No, it doesn't. But they said, one of them said, Hitler should have finished the job of Israel when he was at it. Coming from a supposedly Christian in a church, in a Mennonite church that is plain. How can this be in our day and age? I ask the question. You're anti-Semitic. You're anti-God. That's what it boils down to. And another one in another local church that is this. Just drop a big bomb in Israel and take care of them. Then we'd have peace. Then we'd have hell on earth. That's what would happen. Yeah. This is awful. And somehow along, we are not getting the teaching passed on to the next generation. If that's what we're thinking, dear people. To err is human, but it can lead to dire consequences if we err. One of the great errors in the church is replacement theology. Number one, Jewish people and the land replaced by the church, or the church is the historic continuation of Israel. Number two, this is what they're thinking. This is what's in Mennonite circles. The Jewish people are no more a chosen people, or they're no more a different people. Number three, the Jewish people have no hope, no future, and no calling in the place of God. Number four, since Pentecost, Acts 2, the term Israel found in the Bible now refers to the church. You know your theology? Is that what it means, friends? Far from it, far from it. Number five, God's promises, covenants, blessings ascribed to Israel are now taken away from Israel and given to the church. But the Jews are subject to the curses found in the Bible. Wow. And that is almost what I was reading here. Don't throw anything at me yet. This is awful. All I can say is, if we do not take this literally, then why would the Jews have to be literally taking the curses? You know, just speak common sense in when it comes to the scripture too. The world doesn't know what common sense is, but we need some common sense just in dissecting the Word of God. Yes, we do. The last, or this winter, you know, you drove people and some of them were sore, some of them limped, people had broken arms, broken feet, and they slipped on ice. It was snow covered. They didn't know what was underneath. And then they slipped, and you have the consequences, you know, when they're counting stars. You know, we have to get down to the gravel, dear people, to the sure footing, to the rock, which is Jesus Christ tonight. That's the only thing that is going to keep us going on. Paul wrote the Roman letters in 54 AD, and he wrote mostly to Gentiles, believers. The church was born at Jerusalem, mostly Jews, Jewish Christians. Many became martyrs for what? For bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, for you and me. A lot of them gave their lives for it. Romans 11. We already read verse 1. Let's read from 11 to 29. In Romans 11. I say, then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. This is talking again to the Jew. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto who? The Gentiles. Are you a Gentile tonight? Then the Gentile. Then you got the message of salvation because the Jews had fallen unto the Gentiles. Why? For to provoke them to jealousy. And I like this word here, jealousy. I mean, if you are a child of God tonight, you know what your mission is? To make the Jews jealous that you've got something that they haven't. They may have money. They may have gifts from God that you'll never get. But you're supposed to have jealous. You're supposed to live in such a way that you make them jealous. I have something. I have the Messiah. I have Jesus Christ. And they don't. We believe in the same God. But they are only so far. That doesn't mean there are some Christian Jews. I realize that. But we're supposed to live in such a way that they would desire what we have. And that's something more than money and everything else. It's to have a peace in a troubled world. And this world is troubled. And the Jews are in a very troubling state right now. And it'll just continue to get worse. Yes, it will. This is getting worse, dear people. And I tell the people at home, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but never be surprised anymore of where we're heading. Don't be shocked by some major thing. You know, the city of Damascus is going to be destroyed someday. It could happen in our time. I don't know. Don't be shocked. You know, that's because we can have a peace through all of this. Where was I at here? I better just read instead of explain too much. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Something is still going to happen to them. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, who is of his flesh? The Jews. But my flesh, and might save some of them. This was the heartbeat of Paul, that he could save some of his own. And I come from the old order church, the horse and buggy girl. You know, I drove this way for 29 years. My heartbeat is with those people. I love them. I wish more could enjoy the same joy I have, you know. There's some saved people there. Yes, they are. But I want them to enjoy what I have. A little more freedom, you know. And that doesn't mean you have to be worldly. I tell them, your horse is not going to get you to heaven whether you pay 20 or 20,000 for it. And neither will my car. Just a bonus in here. Let's read on. For at the casting away of them by the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, and the lump is also holy, and the holy root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, you Gentiles, if you were a wild olive tree, and this one too, yeah, I wasn't all that saintly either, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And that means, in plain words, if we have come to know Jesus Christ, don't boast tonight and say, well, we're so much better than the Jews. But be blessed by the fact that you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Boast not. Don't boast. It says in 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Praise God tonight for salvation in Jesus Christ. Yes. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. He tells you why. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. In plain words, don't say that Hitler should have tried to annihilate them all. Don't say that they should drop a bomb in Israel just to get rid of them. Because God has a tremendous plan for them yet coming up. Tribulation, most of that is to remind the Jews, I'm here for you. The thread and the love of God through the book of Revelation, as horrible as it is to get their attention. I'm here. You left me. I never left my promises to you. I'll be here until whenever you're willing to come back. What a beautiful picture of a loving God. That's him. And even's the war now. I believe some of that is trying to get their people's attention. That, hey, I'm here. You know, if they would come and all believe in Jesus Christ, they could get rid of their military stuff, sell it to the market. God would take care of the rest. That's the God we have. Yeah. He made a promise to Israel. But there, no, we can do without Jesus. We love God, but Jesus, no. And that means you don't have an inheritance in the tree as of now. The wild branch is the Gentile Christian from the early church to the present. Original branches. You know, the Jews were grounded in Jewish festivals and communities and looking for the Messiah. Yes, they're still looking for the Messiah. Praise God. We had the privilege to know that he was here. I didn't see him. But I trust you believe tonight too that he was here and he came for your salvation personally. That's right. And then we have I'm looking for him the second time, that meeting in the air when he goes up, phew, you know, that's good enough for me. That's what I'm looking for. The Old Testament was pointing ahead in their laws and their very life. The Gentiles find it much harder to grasp or understand the Old Testament, how it would be joining the New Testament, because we don't know some of their traditions, their weddings and things like that. David Cooper wrote this. He said, "When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Therefore, take every word at its primary, ordinary, literal meaning." And some people have a real problem when it comes to believing that these things in Revelation could happen. For me, that is one of the simplest things to believe. I believe it as it says. I don't understand all of it. I'm too simple for that. Yeah. I'm not that educated. But I believe it. Believe it. This is going to happen. And friends, you don't want to be here for that. It'll be the most awfulest time that has ever been upon this earth. And I believe the Holocaust will look extremely mild for the things to the Jews that is going to happen. 6 million Jews. The Bible says 1/3 of the world is going to be killed in the tribulation. The Bible says 1/4 of the people will be killed in the tribulation. That means half the population right there. People are concerned about too many people. Let the Lord in on it. He'll take care of it. It says 2/3 of Israel is going to be killed. It says there's an earthquake coming in Jerusalem where 7,000 are going to die. You know, God is trying to get the Jews' attention. In the meantime, there's no other city in the Bible that you were called to pray for except for the peace of Jerusalem. Does that mean I'm political tonight? No. Believe what the Word says. That God loves that city. You may say, why? Talk to him about it. He has the right to choose whoever he wishes. He chose the Jews there because of old Abraham who had faith. I like Abraham. The Bible says he didn't choose him because of his good looks or anything else, but he was a man of faith. And God blessed him for that. He blesses all the nations in the world to this day that bless Israel. When the Bible uses an allegory or a figure of speech, it is usually obvious. But when an interpreter takes a passage that is a literal statement of fact and treats it as an allegory, then he is twisting the Word of God and perverts its meaning. Allegorical interpretation places on biblical literature a meaning that, it, with rare exceptions, it was never intended to be. Why? Because people are walking on snow-covered ice. And it looks nicer, but man is sure to slip. Well, we want to look at history tonight. And I don't know if you like history or not, but this book here is loaded with it. Yes, it is. But I won't get necessarily all of into that. But history, how great men have left snow on the ice, and they slipped away from the very basics in Bible doctrine, and now many people still today are looking off the shoulders of those men because they cannot see afar off, because those men didn't know the word. In 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jews were scattered to the four corners of the world. The Bible says that would happen because they left their first love. Jewish leaders were replaced with Gentile leaders, and the center of Christianity became Alexandria and Rome. The darkest ages of the church were when they had the greatest theological ignorance of Israel, as well as her most violent hostility towards the Jews. And keep in mind, in Numbers 24:9, it says, "Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee." Look at the things that happen in my lifetime. Your president that is in now is turning its back on Israel. And your country, I don't want to belittle it, is going down like ours. When we had Mr. Harper in, he loved Israel the most. And of course, with Trump in, he loved Israel too. And your nation was doing pretty good there financially. I'm not saying about morally. You were doing okay. God blesses a nation that blesses Israel, where the leaders do that. Why? The word says. We can go to Genesis 12:3. Talks about the blessings there. And when we change this in our preaching and Bible study, we can make the scriptures say what we want, and we can change the meaning of that. And friends, tonight, if we don't take a literal approach to the Word of God, and that is how come the church, as I was telling you this morning, no feet washing, nothing else, but they take everything else into the church. Yeah. They'll take literal things into the church that are worldly. Worldly. And thus we can spiritualize the virgin birth. And all these things. And that's what's happening. We have friends that said, they don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the seven-day creation. I said, really? They asked me and said, so you believe in Methuselah, that old friend, you know, that got to, 900 years old? You mean to say he got that old? Well, yeah. That's easy to me. God bless him if he got that many good years. They looked at me. Yeah. Didn't even get through grade 8. Yeah. You know, that's how they look at it. It doesn't make sense. Justin Martyr, in 100 to 165 AD, he said this: Jews have forfeited their scripture. Ignatius of Antioch, in 117 AD, says, Jews are in league with the devil. Melita of Sardis in 190 AD, the Jews were Christ killers and have lost the covenant. Lost the covenant? God never broke it. They broke it. But they didn't kill Jesus Christ. Remember that. That was the Romans. And nobody really killed him. He gave his life. For you. Praise God for that tonight. Jews were in favor of the crucifixion. God made the covenant, not the Jews, and it is only God who can reverse it. Clement of Alexandria in 150-250 AD, a Greek philosopher, wanted to make Christianity accepted to the Gentiles. Tertullian in 160-220, Jews are idolaters. This is not something new. Friend, this has been in the churches all the way through, pretty well from the start. People did not like Jesus Christ, and they did not like his literal approach in the Word of God. This is affecting the Mennonite church today. Yes, it is. Eusebius in 263-339 wrote this, along with the Emperor Constantine: Hebrew scripture promises were for Christians and the curses were for the Jews. And this is what much of Christendom still believes today. John Chrysostom in 405 AD, Jews are no better than pigs or goats. This has been a long time in the process, friends. These men's teaching in the early church wrecked the pure gospel of right up to this day. Yes, it is. Constantine, to the Crusaders in 1096 AD, the Gentile church rejected their Jewish roots, And then the light went out. Yes, it did. We were cutting off the branches between you and the tree. That was for the Gentiles, friends. Augustine, in 355 to 430, many things changed in this era. Instead of the cross of Jesus Christ becoming the place where our sins are forgiven, the sword enforced the laws to a fake conversion. Do we see what was happening there? The Roman Catholic Church considered itself the kingdom of God on earth politically and militarily. This is the history where the church spiritualizes everything and becomes one with the state, and then we have corruption, and then we have death, friends. In November the 27th, 1095, Paul Urban II started the Crusades to recover the Holy Land from the Muslims. From 1100 to 1300, 7 or 8 unholy wars were fought. According to replacement theology, Jerusalem and the land belonged to the church. Really? That's history. Those were a lot of bloody wars, and they weren't holy. They were unholy wars. The Jews and Muslims were heretics to the Catholic Church, had the opportunity to kill the Jews and then have their own sins forgiven by the Pope. Joel 3, where are we at? No. Joel 3, 2, I better just move on. Whose land was it? You can read it there. It belonged to the Jews. Genesis 13, 15, it says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." How long is forever? Does anybody know? That's a pretty long time. It's forever and ever. And ever. That was a promise that was given to them. That's what it is. In July the 15th of 1099 AD, the Jews in Jerusalem were herded into synagogues and building, and the buildings were set on fire. These are the Crusaders, friends, with a cross on their front. They went through the land. And this is how they hated the Jews. They ordered them into this building. They had their shield and their breastplates with those religious things on. This was a religious war. And when they were burning the Jews inside, they were singing outside, "Christ, we adore thee." Religion at its worst. Religion does many things. War over in Ukraine, like your religions. Yeah. Putin said, once we have conquered Ukraine, then there'll be only a Russian Orthodox Church, not Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Religion? Yeah. Israel, you know. Religion. They hate the Jews. In 1347 to 1350, half of Europe died with a plague, with 25 million people, and the Jews were blamed for this, poisoning their wells, they said. Now, if something happens in the world, the Jews get the blame. I'll go on to say they always will until the Lord comes. 1215 AD, the Jews were forced to wear distinct badges on clothing to identify them as a danger to society, and that's where Hitler got his idea from, too. Yeah. There's always a connection, you know. The Spanish Inquisition in 1418 to 1492. Thousands of Jews were forced to be baptized and converted to Roman Catholicism, or the property would be seized, exiled, or killed. Of the 80 popes since the 13th century, not one pope disapproved of all the cruelty against the Jews. "If we're righteous, we're only doing God a favor," they said. The war in Ukraine, you know, going on. Catherine the Great, 1791, wanted to remove all Jews from Russia unless they converted to the state church. And this in itself should have been an eye-opener for the Mennonites that moved there, you know, because it would not be the stilly in the land, the quiet in the land anymore. Yeah. not at all, if they have that kind of a leader. And they hate the Jews, and remember, when the Jews are hated, finally the Christians are hated too, because we have the same God. You will find different things happening in North America. If they start hating the Jews, the Christians will be next. Okunashi made a quote. He said, "How odd of God to Jews the Jew, but not as odd as those who Jews the Jewish God and hate the Jews." You get it? No. Yes. Martin Luther did some great things at the start of the Reformation, but he never got off the ice. He never got on to sure footing. Martin wrote a tract concerning Jews and their lies. In the first, and he said this in there. He said, "First set the synagogues on fire, doing it of the honor for God. The home should be destroyed. They should be deprived of their prayer books. The Talmud teaches idolatry. The rabbis must, under the threat of death, not teach anymore. Let us drive them out of our country." And this had to do with Hitler later on. You know, Hitler got a lot of his ideas from Martin Luther against the Jews. Hitler attended a Catholic school, and he learned about Luther. Hitler quoted Luther in Mein Kampf, a book that he wrote to justify the final solution with the Jewish problem. When we look at that and what a Mennonite wrote in my area, you know, Hitler didn't finish the job. There's a connection. A sad connection. Yes, it is. Hitler said, "Hence today, I believe that I am acting in accordance with the Almighty Creator by defending myself against the Jews. I'm fighting for the work of the Lord." And this was at a time when 95% of Germany was Catholic or Protestants, and the Mennonites voted for Hitler because he was going to bring in prosperity, friends. They were all behind him. The new revolution of industry. They voted for a man that was demonic and devilish. Hitler's first year were supported by almost all of the church. The Pope signed an agreement promising Rome's support to Hitler as long as he defends the church. Yes, Jesus Christ is our head tonight. Yes, and he'll stand in the gap for everyone who walks with him. I ask the question tonight, would your name be on there? On the roll there, they have a Holocaust memorial. You see them, I guess, where 22,000 names of righteous Gentiles from 33 nations. Names are on there, and then one of the names would be like Corrie ten Boom. Most of you likely would have read her books. And Corrie's father, often repeated in his home, he said, "The Jews are God's chosen people, and they're the apple of the eye, and I'll always take Jews into my home because God loves them, and I am obligated to love them too." And he died for that cause. Would I do that? And not just for the Jews, but for anybody that is seeking and searching tonight, would I do that? There was one family who was grounded in the Word of God, and her family all perished except, I believe, Corrie. Corrie prayed this prayer many times. She said, "Lord Jesus, I offer myself for your people in any way, any place, any time." Why? She loved the Jews because God loved them. Some of those Jews were wild, ignorant, proud, arrogant, just like some Mennonites are too. She loved them. I'll hide you in my house. Because this is God's people. They might reject him. They might not live for him now, and most of them aren't living for him now. Wait until God's done with him. Today, Jews are returning to their homeland. And once again, the hatred is on the rise through mainline churches, Catholics, Orthodox, United Nations, the World Council of Churches, and the list goes on. We see this, the protests happening across your nation in big cities, in our country too. The protests, free Palestine from the river to the sea. They're souls. I love them. But they need Jesus Christ. Yes, they do. The Jews need Jesus Christ. The Palestinians need Jesus Christ. Because outside there will be no peace. No peace. Until they're put through the mill. As my terminology is. They will find out who is the Messiah. Who is coming again. And when you see the hatred of your leaders and our leaders against these people, your heart just goes out because they do not know that they're messing with God. They're messing with God. And you never will receive a blessing if you mess with God and step against the Word of God. If God loves them, He has all the right to love them. Like I said, I don't know why y'all chose them. But the scriptures say it wasn't for their good looks or anything else. Old Abram had a faith that connected with God. And the blessings are still there if they want them. What does God mean when He refers to the chosen people? They're called to represent God, to introduce God to the nations, and to have a different culture. That's why come He wanted these people with the history. Well, you know they're up and downs. They're traveling and stuff through the desert and all those things. One day they were on a complete high. Next day we're down low. And God had to remind the surrounding nations, hey, better do something about it. They lost the blessing. Israel's reminded, we're nothing in ourselves. You know, God wants to, even in our own personal lives, He wants to get you to a place where you realize that all your strength, you know, all your military equipment, all your gifts for business and everything else is nothing. What I would like to be for you. That's the love of God. That's when He wants to get our attention so many times. As believers in the Messiah tonight, we're grafted in also as chosen. We not only have access to their promises, but also given the same calling to be different tonight, to evangelize the world. We're strangers and pilgrims here. I trust you are tonight. We are grafted in, and we respect their culture, their distinct groups, and according to the Word of God in Romans 11, 13 to 15, we're called to live the abundant life in Jesus Christ tonight, but to be free from the law, saved by grace, and to have the mask pulled off. You know, the mask we had on over COVID, wow, what a tremendous witness that was, wasn't it? You couldn't see if they're happy or not, you know, coughing a bit, whatever else, to make it sincere looking. But to show to them and to show to the world that the Christian life is everything. Make them jealous. Not just the Jews, but whoever you meet in life. Replacement theology needs to be replaced with the Word of God, friends, tonight. The white crosses on the Crusaders and gut middens on their belt buckles of the Nazi army. I saw a belt buckle. Gott Mittens means God with us, right, sister? Or your name there? Gott Mittens. Yes, German. He wanted to be a Christian army, right? There's nothing, no such thing as a Christian army. God with us on your belt buckle? Got mittens? No. No. That doesn't jive at all. And this is how come that you, when people talk about the Christians and Jesus Christ, it is repelling to them of what religion has done through history in their circles. Can we blame them sometimes that they're not open to the gospel? I realize their eyes are closed, so you and I have the privilege of becoming a child of God. But they had a lot of things against them, and a lot of things were done by the so-called church in history. Has God annulled the covenant that he made to them? Has God exchanged the promise to Israel to another body, the church? Because Israel is far from the truth tonight, I realize they're as ungodly as can be. The Lord is going to get their attention. In many different ways, watch what will happen. He'll get their attention. But if that is the case, God would have abandoned the church also for our evil record. You know, things have happened in the Mennonite church that were not all good, friends. People have to repent and get right back with God. The Mennonites were not all that saintly through the ages. And some of them were far from the truth. And unless we repent, we have no better record than the Jews or anybody else out there. Replacement and Muslim theology are in harmony with saying Israel should not exist. We're together on that. Quote, most of the church has acted as it was grafted into a Christmas tree, a real showpiece, but unconcerned about the root, Jesus Christ. You know, when I come to different churches, and I want to commend you for your separation of church and state. But you know, sometimes it's Mennonite Hollywood in the churches. Yeah, that doesn't look that good either. No. If we're here because of the styles and the fashions that we can get away with in the Mennonite circles, guess again, the Lord wants to bless you tonight in walking humbly before God and looking at the Word of God and its sincerity and truth. Always keep in mind the great suffering Jews had and the suffering they will continue to have until Jesus comes with all his saints. They will see who will be king. They will realize how they have spurned the call of salvation, and it says they'll cry out. The one we have rejected thousands of years, and here we could have been blessed and kept and everything else, but they loved the world more than Jesus. And that goes for the Gentiles too. We go back there and we remember too when they told Pilate, they said, may his blood, the blood of Jesus, be on us and our children. And you know, God honors those things. They've been nothing but heartache since, ever since they're in their own country, war after war after war. God honors that. Just like when the communist countries, when they said, there is no God. You know, God smiles at those things and say, okay, paddle your own canoe, and you're going to go against the current. Yeah. You can do it. I'm still here. Whoever wants to come, even tonight, can come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. We need to get off the snow and the ice and in the Word of God tonight, dear people, and have our hearts in tune with the heart of God and his love for his people, to them, to then see his plan for the restoration of people, for his people. Tonight I love Israel because God loves them. I realize they're far from the truth, but never underestimate when God puts his finger on somewhere, something has to give. Time has come. In the meantime, do your part to make them jealous. Show them you love you. When I see a fellow with a little cap on, you run up to him. I'm sure it's stupid. You know, so are you a Jew? And, oh, yes, yeah, yeah. He said, well, I love the Jews. And they almost, who says that in this country anymore? You could get killed almost for that. No, I do. I love him to the extent that I hope they get saved. And we should all do that. Here with all the wars going on, one of the leaders there in Israel said, come on home. You're always welcome back home. They have a place to go to. But the church has no place anymore in the world to hide if persecution comes. Persecution is on the rise, friends, North America. You can't just move out like they did years ago to another country, or a lot of them came to your country because of the freedom. That freedom is disappearing. But tonight I don't want to scare you, but only prepare you. Have Jesus Christ. Then we're on the victor's side. Then we're on the victor's side. Yes, indeed. What a day that will be when Jesus comes for his own. Let's not turn the Jews or anybody else away by the sword, but turn them to the cross of Jesus Christ. And what a day when both Gentile, Jew and Gentile can flourish on the root of Jesus Christ. When the lost sheep of the house of Israel are back in the fold, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. I'll want to leave with this poem. Perhaps today the clouds will part asunder and reveal a glory brighter than the sun, and we shall view with transport, joy, and wonder the hope of earth and heaven's beloved one. Perhaps today the last taunt shall grieve us, and Satan foil that final dart shall cast, and all our flesh's frailties shall leave us, and disappointment evermore be past. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Perhaps today, from weary beds of anguish, God's suffering saints shall breathe their final sigh, in glory rise no more on earth to languish, to meet their great deliverer in the sky. Perhaps today, the trump of God resounding shall wake the sleepers on their beds of clay, and we with them, our longed for Lord surrounding, shall see his glorious face. Perhaps today. God bless you all. Keep looking up. Keep living for Jesus Christ. Love his word.